I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. You'll find that the scripture says that the Lord is the apostle and high priest of what we say, what comes out of our mouth. And it matters so much what you're saying about you, about yourself, about your situations. What are you saying about you? One of the big things the enemy of your soul continually tries to get in your mouth is to get you to say what you don't know, what you don't have, what you can't do, what you're not. And the Lord tells us to agree with Him and say what He says we are. And say that we have what He says we have. And say we can do what He says we can do. And it, even though it doesn't look like it or feel like it, if you'll say it, it closes the door to the enemy. It opens up and gives the Lord access to work that in your life. So everybody said out loud, I am.
I am.
Saved.
Saved.
I am.
Clean.
Washed.
Washed.
Made holy.
Made
acceptable.
Made righteous.
To the Lord.
I have.
Been given.
All spiritual blessings.
Everything.
That pertains to life and
godliness.
Is given to me.
And I can.
Do all things. Through Christ.
Who strengthens me.
Hallelujah.
Stop talking and thinking and looking at what you don't know, what you don't have, what you can't do. Stop that.
It only reinforces fear and lack and confusion.
Say what He said.
Check it out. Check the book out.
He has said some really good things about you.
How about this one?
You have delivered me from all the power of darkness,
and you've translated me into the kingdom of your dear Son.
Amen.
Well, that would cover, instead of saying, I can't get free from this drug addiction. I can't get free from spending too much. I can't get free from cussing all the time. I can't get free from chasing after somebody else's wife. As long as you say it, you're stuck. You got no help, no grace. You believe it and you say it, and that's all you'll have. But by faith, you could say, He has delivered me. Go, somebody say,
He has delivered me
from all the power of darkness.
See, that covers everything.
Any dark thing, any ungodly, unrighteous thing,
Christ has already taken you in my place and faced the judgment for it and overcame it and rose from the dead over it. And so He didn't do it for Himself. He didn't need it for Himself. He gave it to you. He gave it to me.
Another time, everybody say, I am
delivered.
I am
set free
from all the power,
of darkness.
Hallelujah.
And anything that's been harassing you, or anything that's been a torment or a bondage, instead of saying, I got to get free, I need to get free, there's zero faith in that. There's no faith in that. And begging and feeling sorry for yourself will do you no good. You'll be in worse shape next week than you are this week. By faith,
even though it doesn't look like it, even though it doesn't feel like it. Faith even calls those things that be not as though they were. By faith you say, if it's smoking, if it's drinking, if it's taking pills or whatever, you say, I'm free from this. The Lord has set me free. He has. It's a dark thing. It's darkness. It's bondage. He has delivered. Yeah. Even though it doesn't look like it or feel like it, dare to say it. Dare to decree it and declare it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord will have access to perform it in your lives. Yeah. Dare to say, I'm free. Not trying to get free, not needing to get free, not working on being free, not wanting to be free. I am free. Come on, say it again. I am free. Why? This is not based on feeling or experience. The Lord has set me free. He did it. He told me He did. So I'm going to believe Him. More than what I see and feel, I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to say what He says. The faith confession is saying the same thing He said. And if you'll say what He said, He'll do what you said. Hallelujah. If you're saying what He said, He has a right to do what you said in your life. Glory to God. Is that okay? Thanks be to God. Well, Father, we ask for more utterance and direction and light and life and help today. Exactly what You know we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Psalm 23 is our master text for our series that we've been on for some weeks now. We're calling it Faith for Provision. And we're giving one by one 30 scripture reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, is that just my opinion or my thinking? No, I said 30 reasons from the Bible, right? Scriptures. And if you say, well, I don't know if I believe all that. Okay, what's your believing based on? Where's your 30 scripture reasons for what you believe for? Are y'all with me? Huh? Where's three? See what I'm saying? You got to watch out for religious tradition. Ooh, it's bad stuff. Jesus said it'll make the Word of God of no effect in your life. Something as powerful as the Word of God rendered ineffective? Why? Because it's a replacement for the Word. People, because they've heard it a lot, or they heard it in church, or they heard it from preachers or theologians, or read it in a book that somebody wrote that had a bunch of letters after their name, they think, well, that's got to be right. No, where is it at in the Word? In the Scripture. There's all kind of things that priests and preachers and theology doctorates and instructors and professors have said that are absolutely wrong. They may be sincere about it, but it doesn't keep it from being wrong. So how can you know that your belief is right? You must discipline yourself to examine everything you believe by the written Word of God. And if it's really true and right in the Word, you'll find it more than one place in the mouth of 2 or 3 or 30 witnesses. Let it be established. And so that's what I'm saying. And so if you say, well, I don't know if I agree with all that, stay with us. Just come. Prove me wrong with Scripture. Right? And see, this is not a matter of, I don't know if I agree with Brother Keith or not. Do you agree with the Bible? Do I agree with the Bible? Do you agree with the Bible? That's our standard, not each other's opinions. And so reason number one was, the Lord's my shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Number two, the goodness of God. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. Number six, the God of Abraham. Number 7, we are the seed of Abraham. Number 8, the blessing of tithing. Now, if you weren't with us for these previous 8 different reasons, we spent a lot of time on all these, go online, faithschool.org. They're all there. You can listen to them, watch them, no charge. You don't have to sign up for anything. It won't cost you anything. And they're also available in multiple languages. So take advantage of that. And we're down now to reason number 9. Number 9, we're sure abundant provisions, always God's will for us all, because of honor and riches. Sometimes people don't even think those two belong in the same sentence, but I'm not the one that put them together. In Proverbs 3 and verse 9, Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance. Now the word substance in the same King James Bible some 17 times is translated riches or wealth. And the word honor is also translated glorify. So it's entirely accurate and correct to say glorify the Lord with your wealth. Glorify the Lord with your riches. Can you do that?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Can you glorify the Lord with riches?
Yes.
With wealth? You can. You can actually glorify the devil with money and stuff. Hmm?
Yes.
You're a fool if you do, because he'll never help you out. He'll use you and kill you. But God, as we've studied before, if you honor Him, He will honor you. Mm. So another translation says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Give Him the first share of all your crops. Then your storerooms will be so full they can't hold everything. Well, wouldn't that be part of Him honoring you? That instead of making investments and losing them, instead of losing what you worked for, instead of the enemy being able to steal it and destroy it, He rebuked the devourer for your sake. He opened the windows of heaven. He poured out blessing on you. He prospered everything you put your hand to. He called every good seed, caused every good seed you sowed to be multiplied and come back to you 30, 60, 100 fold. That's why that your storerooms would be so full they couldn't hold everything. Is this in direct, this is verse 2, is this in direct result of verse 1 that you honored the Lord?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Certainly it is. We saw in Psalm 96, Psalm 96:6, he says, honor and majesty are before Him, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Now let me pause on that just a little bit. Everybody said out loud, strength and beauty.
And beauty.
Are in His sanctuary.
Are in His sanctuary.
Where is God? He's in heaven. He's in us by His Spirit. But His dwelling place is heaven. And the Scripture talks about even the Lord's creating a new earth and new Jerusalem and where that the tabernacle of God would be with men, with us. We would live and be with Him. But listen to some of the language. Don't turn there necessarily, but in Revelation 5:12, when they're worshiping the Lord, Revelation 5:12 said, they said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. Riches? And wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Did they make a mistake putting this riches word in here? What's that for? Does power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing go together?
Yes.
Obviously. You don't change the Scripture. In Revelation 21, Revelation 21 in verse 2, John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And in verse 24, skipping forward, it said, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, this heavenly city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. What is that? If you read the complete English version of verse 24, it says it like this. Nations will walk by the light of that city, and kings will bring their riches there. Its gates are always open during the day, and night never comes. The glorious treasures of nations will be brought into the city. Riches and glory. Honor and blessing. What you will never find is glory and poverty.
Right.
Honor and lack. He talked about, we read, beauty and majesty. Broke and old and derelict and dilapidated is not beauty.
No, it's not.
Huh? No. Is not glory. Right?
That's right?
Never was. Never has been. You'll see old, decrepit, dilapidated, broken as a result of sin and death and the curse down here. That was never God. I said that was never God. When you get to that new city, you get to that new place, you can do this right here. Nothing. Huh? No dirt, no dust, no germs, no junk, nothing old and stinking and putrefying, nothing. You won't come around a corner and go, whoo, boy, that's wore out. Look at that. When are they going to replace that? That's junky. Ain't no junky in glory.
That's right.
Hmm? In glory there are riches, beauty, majesty, glory. Hallelujah. Can you see this? It's always been this way. Always been this way. Now, you have death down here, so you have decay, and you got things wearing out and all that kind of stuff. But God didn't make it that way. It's the result of man's sin and fall and disobedience and rebellion, which is why He's going to have to make a new heaven and a new earth, because this one is so messed up. He's going to have to make it new. But I'm just talking about the true nature of God. God can't give you poverty. He doesn't have any. He can't minister poverty to you. Huh? Such as you have, that's what you give. Right? Lack does not come out of Him. He knows no lack. There is no lack in heaven. There will be no lack in that city to come. Do you believe it?
Yes.
There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more dying, including dying from starvation or disease or any of that junk. All of that is curse, and not the perfect will of God. Now, there's a bunch of it down here. We know that. But to say that all the results of sin are somehow the will of God is to say sin is somehow the will of God. No. If sin itself, the source is wrong, the products of it are wrong. Hmm? What comes out of God? Good. Life. Light. Beauty. Majesty. Glory. Riches. Honor. Hallelujah. Is that right? Is that right? But don't skip that word riches. It's right there. Isn't it? It's right there in the Scripture. Somebody say, I believe it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. God is so good. He's so kind. He's so gracious. He's so merciful. But the devil is always trying to lie to you. He's lied to the church. He's convinced the church of all kind of things. And what he wants to do is turn everybody against God. He wants you to blame every evil thing, every bad thing on God, so that you, even though you try to say, I have faith in God, even though he's putting me through untold miseries, that, I'm going to have faith in him anyway. No, you'll get to the point where I don't understand why God is doing all this to me. And the thing is, he's not doing it to you. Amen. The devil's lying. He's deceiving. And when you look, people literally starving to death for lack of a decent meal to eat, that's poverty. Yes. I said, that's poverty. Yes. Well, that's lack. Don't lack of enough to eat. Well, lack of enough to pay your utility bill is the same stuff. It's just this is a much lesser degree. You get enough of this stuff in your life, it'll literally kill you. Right?
Yes.
Same thing with disease. Enough of it will kill you. And that God's not killing you. God's not trying to kill you. If he wanted us to be destroyed, all he'd have to do is leave us alone. Just walk away from us. Right? And it wouldn't take long. This thing would spin into oblivion. But he sent Jesus. He bought us. He paid for us. And he said, Jesus said, it's the thief who doesn't come unless he's coming to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come,
yes.
Jesus said. I am come that you might have poverty.
No.
Now, why do I say things like this? I'm not trying to just be funny. Millions of church-going people believe that God puts poverty and lack in your life to teach you something. Based on what? The devil's been lying to you, brother. The devil's been deceiving you, sister. God's not your problem. Never has been. There is an entity who hates you, who's trying to kill everybody. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the devil. Exists whether you believe it or not. And every morning in your life, he's trying to hurt you, trying to steal something from you, trying to kill something in your life, trying to destroy something in your life. That's his name, Abaddon, Apollyon, Destroyer. That's his name, and he revels in it. Now think what kind of a sick individual this is. This is his entertainment and enjoyment, is destroying people. He likes to see humans squirm and in pain. That's who he is. When he gets thrown into the lake of fire, I'm not shedding a tear for him. How about you? I'll be so glad to see him gone and all those with him. But the reason I bring this up is he has convinced much of the church world that God is responsible for all the things he's doing. Don't you believe it, brother? I said, don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? You know, when Jesus ministered to the woman that had the spirit of infirmity and was bowed over for all those years and couldn't straighten herself up, some kind of thing with her spine or something, physical ailment, and when he ministered to her and she was set free, he said, ought this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound all these years, 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Jesus said Satan did that to that woman.
That's right.
Huh? Yes. Well, then why you got Christians and preachers standing in the pulpit saying God put a disease on you? Where'd they get that? Where'd that come from? Well, see, it's the same mentality that God puts you through poverty. He puts you through lack. You don't understand it. It's God's mysterious ways, but he's teaching you something. He's training you through lack. Not true. Lack was never of God. Will never be of God. There's no lack in God. There's no lack in his plan. You know what's in him? Overflowing abundance. Hallelujah. Of every good thing. He didn't just make a star. Have you looked up in the night sky? He didn't just make a fish. Do you know what's in the Pacific Ocean? Oh, hallelujah. When God does something, he does it, brother. I mean, and nobody's going hungry at his table. Huh? Nobody's going hungry. Why? That's what the 23rd Psalm, the first point that we talked about. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. He prepares a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, they have to sit there and watch me enjoy myself. Huh? And how many believe there's abundance on Father's table? There's abundance. You say, hey, pass me some of that joy, please. I'll take two big scoops of joy. I'll take some peace. I'll take some light. I'll take some life. Yeah, give me another slice of life. Yeah, I'll take some healing. Yeah, give me another piece of healing. And how many believe that you're not over there scraping the bowl going, oh, Lord, we're out. We're out. Not in Father's house. I said, not in Father's house. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
He leads me.
He leads me.
Into the green pastures.
The
still waters.
He feeds me.
With abundance.
There is no lack.
No lack.
No lack.
In Father's house. Hallelujah. Glory to God in my Father's house. Every need is met. Every good desire is fulfilled. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Isn't it good to know the truth and how the truth will make you free? Well, our time's up again. I'm so glad that you joined us today, but oh, we're just getting into this real good. Come back tomorrow. There's more to see. Until then, say it out loud like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll see you next time here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.